My name is Sophia Osborne, and you're listening to the Root and STEM podcast, a podcast exploring issues and stories in STEAM education. For this episode, I got the chance to speak with artist, curator, and adjunct professor Tanya Willard about her art, research, and experience as a mixed Indigenous and settler artist living on reserve.
So my name is Tanya Willard. I'm Suquamish and settler heritage, and I live at Nisqually Indian Reserve near Chase, BC, just outside of Kamloops. So it's what we refer to as our homeland of Suquamish Utluh, and that is how we refer to our, not only our land base, but our culture and our language and our connection with the natural world around us. And I work as an assistant professor with University of British Columbia Okanagan. And my research is as an artist and curator, and I focus particularly on Indigenous art.
How did you first become interested in art?
Well, I grew up in, went to high school in Armstrong, BC, with mostly my mom's side of the family, which is non-native, and it's a small town. So this is part of my like current day interest, is providing a view of what's possible in the art world in small towns and rural centers and on reserve, because we have so few models, or fewer models anyway, than in larger city centers. So I had some good art teachers and participated in all my art classes and won some kind of high school awards around creativity and fine arts classes. And so I always knew that I was really interested in art. Not that I necessarily knew what paths there were to art or being an artist, that was less clear. Really important mentor artists I worked with as part of like a career placement in grade 12 at my high school was with elder artist Barb Marchand, seal artist in the interior, and also the late Dave Seymour, who is a Suquamish artist. And so that early exposure to particularly Indigenous artists who were professionals in their field was really key for me to start to think of a future in art. But I've also had to really kind of think through what art is in a Western kind of context and how that has been divorced from a lot of Indigenous ideas of art. And so that's really kind of the focus of my practice for my life, has been about, you know, the overlaps, the intersections, and the omissions between those kinds of art practices, perhaps.
And what drew you to land-based art?
So there was a kind of transition period for me in my art practice. So I went to my first year of university for art at the Bachelor of Fine Arts in Kelowna, because that was the closest when I went to high school in Armstrong. And then that degree was transferable to UVic. And then I spent a lot of time on the coast, and that's probably where I developed my work as an artist at UVic, and then afterwards as an activist. And then worked a lot with Redwire Native Youth Media Society, which was a Native youth publication. And so a lot of that was urban, although my experience was mostly in a smaller town or smaller reserve in the interior. And I did a project in 2006 to 2008 that was with Stanley Park Ecology Society. And it was a land art kind of project, ecological art project in Stanley Park in Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories. And that project really led me to thinking through the possibilities of nature, ecological, land-based art. But importantly for me as an Indigenous artist, it started with territorial work. So understanding Indigenous territories and the injustice and histories of that. And then thinking about work within that medium of working with nature. And around that time, I had my first son as well. So I was becoming a mother for the first time. And that had a huge, huge effect on my work and on my thinking about art. And when my son was under two, we decided to move back home so that he could grow up with more Suquamish culture and language and land. And I moved back to my reserve where my dad lived, Nisqually Indian Reserve, where I live now. And that was a big move because a lot of how we think about arts and culture functions in urban centers in Canada. And we have a different forms of arts and culture that are active and beautiful and inspiring and, you know, enduring on an Indian reserve, but they're not positioned in the same way. Like it would be difficult for me to, at that time when I made that move, to have exhibitions of art from local artists or something. From so there was a real shift in how I was thinking about working, and that brought up all these histories of the inequity that was also part of Canadian cultural policy and the formation of it. And then I was really inspired by my land, by Stepupnik land, and the beauty of it, the connectivity, the ways that I was able to experience my land and both the challenges and the beauty of it. And so that really shifted my work. All those questions I had about, okay, well, now I've shown, you know, Indigenous artists in my curatorial work, I've shown as an artist, you know, have I kind of reached, is that like my goal? But I really found that despite doing that, there was still an inequity in terms of who was attending the gallery openings. And I wasn't seeing the kind of public as, you know, a number of Indigenous peoples. We were still few. That's changed now, but we were still few of us. And I really wanted to reposition and recenter the work to be like, instead of, you know, asking to come in the door and show Indigenous art, I wanted to instead shift that center completely and say, our art is valid, our land is central. And if I think through an Indigenous knowledge-based way of working, then the real gallery is the land. Because, you know, Sokwetmuk, you know, aesthetics, practices include basketry, you know, different kinds of forms of art that work with land-based materials and harvesting. And so that was the kind of evolution of thinking through land-based art and thinking through that in terms of where does it not fit with eco art, primarily in terms of addressing Indigenous territories first and central to that and being Indigenous led. And then also where does it fit in terms of like the larger category of land art that we, you know about from America in the kind of modernist period. And again, that for me, that distinction is around how I'm continuing a tradition of claiming my land through creative living and, you know, and practice as a Sokwetmuk person on my land.
Do you have any advice for educators who are working in rural communities that aren't centered in our conversations around art and how they can inspire and support their students who are interested in pursuing art?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's often kind of two strategies about that. And one is about us fitting in to a different model. And that's where for me, that's what been really generative for me, is to kind of reject that and say, I don't need to fit into an urban model, and I don't need my art to be what's going on in the city or in non-Indigenous centers, that I can find inspiration and direction and artistic history to, you know, the rural, the reserve, outside the margins kind of approach. And there are those art histories there. And you just got to start digging deep, because for me, it's been more generative to not try to fit in, but to make my own space. And that is about that shifting the center. But then on a practical level, you still want to connect. And the good thing is, like, compared to when I was a high school student, the connectivity to the, you know, to wider centers is more established. And so it is still important in my work to connect to international and national artists and curators. And so it sort of necessitates a working both ways approach, absolutely, but without conceding that I need to fit in completely to the model of, you know, the other way that we might expect artists to be in terms of the city or different things. And actually, that is just kind of a held over expectation too. It's very different and very diverse in terms of how artists make their living. So I think number one is knowing that you can do it. You can live in a very rural community and have, you know, a very productive, successful art career. You got to put in the work and have the inspiration and have the respect and love for yourself, your people, and your land.
Could you talk a bit about the Bush Gallery?
So Bush Gallery is sort of part of my work here in community. And I do make some distinctions between what I bring into academic spaces. And I phrase this around ideas of citation, not text citation, like citing a paper, but citing the land and the potential of realizing land knowledges that way. And then Bush Gallery is very much activated out of where I live. And this is where it's like, it's part of my research, but it's also more personal, more intimate, more combined with how I live here in my home territories. and involves a lack of boundaries between my practice as an art, as an artist, as a curator, as a mother, you know, as someone who grows food. And so I sort of allow myself a space that, again, just that shifts the center of how I approach that work. And though there are disciplinary kind of boundaries at times, I just work really in an interdisciplinary way. And I just think that a lot of our artists in Indigenous communities are also people that make things happen. So they organize events, they, you know, bring other artists together, they collaborate. And so I try to just let the work that needs to happen happen without sort of overly determining it. And the space of Bush Gallery allows me to do that. It's a, you know, a radically recentered approach to art making that's situated on an Indian reserve, but also situated in our hearts and minds, wherever they are in the world. And so it has this, you know, this reach that is addressed by a simple question, which is around how do we see art galleries? How would we as Indigenous peoples create, or how do we create spaces to think through and appreciate art? And that's often connected to our homes and community centers. And so instead of positioning the gallery as something separate from that, everything is really integrated. And so it's a collaborative project with several other artists. Peter Morin, who's a Tahltan performance artist, Janine Frey-Najutli, they are an artist working out of their home territories in Old Crow in the Yukon, and Gabriel Hill, who's a Métis artist. And so, yeah, it really started from this question of, can we imagine a space for art and for connection and collaboration outside of the, you know, overly westernized institutions for art?
Are there any big revelations that have kind of come up for you from that experience?
I mean, the biggest one is just the overwhelming potential and real abundance that comes from the land, both materially as well as spiritually and lovingly. And I think that's been what I have learned the most through kind of repositioning my practice, and what sustains me. That there are, of course, there are lots of challenges to rural areas and to on reserve living. I don't want to make it overly romantic, because we have lots of lateral violence and underemployment and all kinds of issues here that are, you know, predicated by ongoing colonization in Canada. But at the same time, it's given me such love for Indigenous resurgence. You know, I center a lot of Indigenous languages in my work, learning different things like hide tanning, basketry. And those are so deeply connected that they sustain me in a different way than some other mediums I work in. You know, I work in printmaking and sometimes painting and lens-based media, so cameraless photography, that are collaborations with nature in terms of sun printing. And those are really rewarding as well. But so everything that I've kind of shifted to that has an element of connection to the land has just become so generative and sustaining for me, and really based in love and joy. And so that's been like a significant shift and realization by just situating my work differently.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Tanya.
Thanks, Sophia.
For more knowledge and stories from STEAM professionals, check out the Root and STEM magazine at pingwa.com, or more episodes of the Root and STEM podcast available to download on your streaming platform of choice.